Okay, cool.
Okay, Sean.
All right, so let's talk about your mission statement. I'm just
no punches you can pull. Ask any questions.
Okay, I'll do
hidden areas. This is the way we grow.
Absolutely.
Instructive things to say, I can learn a hell of a lot.
No, I'm all about that. Don't worry, I'm going to be hitting you plenty hard.
Oh, great.
Okay. I'm going to read your mission statement here from your website. It says, the Venus Project presents a bold new direction for humanity that entails nothing less than a total redesign of our culture. There are many people today who are unconcerned with the serious problems that face our modern society: unemployment, violent crime, replacement of humans by technology, overpopulation, and a decline of the Earth's ecosystems. As you will see, the Venus Project is dedicated to confronting all of these problems by actively engaging in research, development, and research and development and the application of workable solutions through the use of innovation of approaches to social awareness, education incentives, and the consistent application of the best that science and technology can offer to the social system. The Venus Project offers a comprehensive plan for social reclamation in which human beings, technology, and nature will be able to coexist in long-term, sustainable, and dynamic equilibrium. Okay, so my first question is just making sure I'm crystal clear on this issue. What is the Venus Project in layman geek terms? Like, for the average Joe on the internet who's just downloading this, you know, our WOGs, the people who listen to our show, what's going on here? Like, what does that all mean?
Okay. In our country today and all of the civilized world, they are trying to find answers in the context of the old system. Our present-day system had evolved ages ago in ages of scarcity, along with our language and values. What the Venus Project claims is that if you really want world peace, and if you really want a secure economic system, what we have to do is eventually declare the Earth as the common heritage of all nations. If you don't do that, then there will always be territorial disputes. Just like when the United States, when our states joined together, all the militias disappeared at the borders. There was no more state conflict, interstate conflict.
Mm.
Now, this, if you really want that, but anything less than that, as Mark Twain once said, there's not an acre of land on Earth that belongs to its rightful owner. When you go back in time in history, the British took sections of the West Indies, the French, the Dutch. So after we took this land from the Indians and signed hundreds of treaties and broke most of them, then we took California, New Mexico by force. After we stole all the land we needed, we put up the sign, thou shalt not steal. This is the way the Venus Project looks at the global situation. That what nations would like to do is to be able to sign treaties with one another and freeze things as they are. This would only work temporarily, because eventually the nations would like to get back the land that once belonged to their ancestors. So you're going to have territorial disputes continuously unless we go to a global economy in which all of the Earth's resources become the common heritage of all the world's people.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more there. I mean, that's kind of common sense. You and I could go on for hours about examples of how that's happened in history.
But I'm just being upfront with you. There's no other way. It's bullshit to think you can do it within the culture.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and, you know, there's a few questions I've got here. Now, when I went through your website, you said that there's no money in this society. You're going to completely destroy, well, not destroy, but you're going to revamp all of society, and this is a completely new dynamic, a new paradigm.
Eliminate banking and the use of money entirely.
Okay, so, and this is all done.
I'd like to know about that.
Yeah, this is the resource-based economy. What is that?
Your voice suddenly faded out.
Sorry, this is a resource-based economy.
Hello?
Sorry.
No, I can hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. Now, you were saying that this is a resource-based
economy. Resource-based economy.
Yeah, how does that work?
Here's how it works. Suppose you and a friend of yours landed on an island. You had $10 million, and the friend had gold and diamonds, but the island had no topsoil, no water, no fish. You have nothing.
You're screwed.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much you're screwed.
What is the real value of a nation? It's resources.
No, that's true.
Okay. Money was conceived of a long time ago in ages of scarcity, and they used that as a means of trade and control. If you didn't work, you didn't eat. So money was a control device, which was used over people and over nations. When you lend somebody money, they owe you interest on it. So money was considered a very offensive system by some people, even religious people. I think Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple.
That's correct.
Now they're all back in it.
Yeah, pretty much. He'd be pretty busy today if he was trying to chase all the money changers out of the church today.
Yeah.
Okay, so the resource-based economy is economy that is like...
Well, let me clarify it further.
Sure.
If you run out of resources, money will do nothing for this nation.
True.
So what we have to do is base our distribution of goods and services upon available resources. For example, in the South Pacific Islands many years ago, when I was there, they had no money. They had lots of fish, lots of bananas, lots of time, and they had no word for work. Did you know that, the Polynesians?
Really?
They played, they fished, they swim, but they didn't have a word for work. They did what they wanted to do. They built canoes, they had luaus, they had parties, and they were like big children, but there was so much fresh water coming down from the mountains, nobody rationed it. Nobody stole anything, because it was about 15 bananas per day per person. And there were breadfruit, grapefruit, avocados. You know, you didn't have to sell anything. And, no, nobody steals sand from the beach. It's so abundant.
Yeah, that's true.
Air you breathe is very valuable. There's no price set on it, and it doesn't spoil you, because you can get all you want. When we start running out of resources, when any nation starts running out of resources, then money becomes the tool. If you do this, I'll give you so much, or barter, or you trade. Instead of carrying big things, I give you 6 sheep for a horse. You know what I mean? Money became a simplified way of exchange.
Sure.
Now, what would you like to know further?
Well, I'm going to... Like, if we were to implement this, okay,
yes.
Like, say Canada would become probably one of the wealthiest nations in the world because...
Resources.
Yeah, because of our natural resources, whereas, say, Israel would be screwed because there's nothing but dirt there. Like, it's all sand.
You have a personnel resource, technology.
Oh, I see. Okay, so...
The Technion Society there that develops new industrial technology, automation, robots, engineering. So scarcity countries will be a source for us of educating children not into the business world. They will become agronomists, astronomers, educators, research people. There are no professions like stockbrokers, bankers, loan agencies, sales personnel, advertising. Do you follow me?
I'm with you.
Well, all of the professions of the future will be essential and correspond. In other words, the population of the earth and all the laws must correspond to the carrying capacity of the earth. Do you need further elaboration there?
No, I think we'll be okay there.
Because if you don't correspond, if your population exceeds the productive capability of the land, you're going to have stealing, lying, cheating.
I gotcha.
There is no such thing as criminal behavior. What you have, if you go back in time, we took things from other nations. We took German scientists. We took their rockets. So did the Russians. So did all nations. All nations, if you're thinking of criminal genes, all nations have.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
okay, so there are good and bad are only terms invented to try to talk about some of the aberrations. But our language is old. It doesn't have in it the means for sane communication.
Right.
For example, many famous scientists in the past had wanted funds to be able to communicate with extraterrestrials.
That's right.
Do you know about that? They wanted to set up. First of all, in order for anything to travel 100 million light years through space, they would not be humanoid.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. And since the Republicans can't talk to the Democrats, and since wives can't communicate, children and parents have difficulty communicating, particularly the different nations. How the hell are you going to talk to extraterrestrials 5,000 to 10,000 years in advance?
You know, that's such a, that's brilliant. I've never even thought about it that way. That's awesome.
No, but that's the way we try to, in the Venus Project, we are concerned with where people are looking for answers. The answers are here. We have to accept the responsibility for taking care of the Earth and our fellow human beings. If we continue to pollute the air, continue to make war, continue to use nuclear weapons, we will be self in a direction of self-destruct.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
Okay, well, now, in this, let's say, you know, poof, okay, I've got, you know, the means to make this society a reality on one continent, okay? We go to Africa, we make that happen in Africa. Okay, now, in this society, okay, who's in charge in this society? Like, who makes the decisions?
Very good. I'm going to try to answer that because it's outside of our usual habits of thought. Let me give you one example of how decisions are arrived at, okay?
Okay.
And that apply that to all areas of government, unless you have difficulty with that.
Oh, okay, I'll try.
For example, we might take samples of the soil from all areas of America, all America's agricultural areas, send it to a central agricultural research center, and ask them what is the most productive thing to grow with the soil containing manganese, phosphorus, you see what I mean? And they don't have an opinion. They'll tell you that carrots, beets, and certain things will grow best in this soil. In other soils, that's not an opinion. That's a finding.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So after bringing all the soils to central agriculture, we turn to the health department and say, what do Americans need if we're talking about America? We're short in manganese, phosphorus, whatever we're short of, we grow that kind of food to help in that problem. Just like you would if you went to another planet. If there's no water there, you have to bring water. The plan of any expedition carries with it the necessities to be able to practice whatever they intend to do when they get there.
Hmm.
There's no water on Mars, and you want to bring 60 people there, and you want to be there for 3 months, you need several thousand gallons of water.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So this is how decisions are made. The same as a space program, only because this is limited by funds.
Right.
If they weren't limited by funds, they'd make their rocket ships very different, I can assure you.
Yeah, no kidding.
So everything today is based on funding.
Yeah.
In the Venus Project, we give medical centers whatever the hell they need and more to do whatever they must do. There's no more digging up nickels and dimes for cystic fibrosis, heart disease, or any of the other diseases. Do you follow me? We have more than enough resources on Earth to give everybody not a subsistence level. I'm not talking about that. A very high standard of living.
Okay.
If you have difficulty with that.
No, no. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just. So what you're saying here is that we put the interest of humanity on the
one.
No, that's primary.
Right. She's a subservient to that.
Okay. Now, however, like, okay, so I can see how that would work. I can see how, you know, that would operate in society. But what about policy, like, regarding, say, like, sometimes you're going to need policy to be made. So
what?
Sometimes you're going to need policy to be made about certain things. You're going to need some.
I can't imagine. Give me an example.
Let's say criminal law.
There's no criminal law because everyone has access to things. When you have immediate access to cabin cruisers or anything you want to use, like a central library we have where any kid can go in and check out a camera. We ask the kid, do you know how to use it? If he says no, we show him how. Then we say, what do you want to do with the camera? He says, well, I like animals. Bring back animal photographs, take care of the camera, and you get a bigger camera with greater performance. So here the kid is learning something useful. We have access libraries where any kid can check out drawing materials, musical instruments, whatever they're interested in. No wrist twisting, no forces used. There are no police, no prisons. There's no need for it. When people have access to things, they do not steal. The only reason the Mexicans come over the border, because there's no work or employment in Mexico, And I can assure you, if a media hit this country and knocked out our agriculture, we would invade the nearest country that had arable land. You follow me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So even if you elected the most ethical people with no blemishes into government, if you ran out of resources, there would be stealing, lying, cheating, embezzlement. Do you understand?
I do.
Nothing to do with the artificialities of our civilization. All man-made laws are artificial and incoherent with the nature of the physical world. The only real laws are natural law. If you don't get enough sleep or proper nutrients, you're going to get sick.
Okay.
So man-made laws are designed to control people.
Oh, yeah, government exists for control. That's
when you ask me about government, I see no need for it at all.
Okay. Okay.
If you can think of a possible need, let me know what you think.
All right. Let's go over real quick.
Yes.
You talked about the child coming in. Let's go over the average life, like start from the birth, and like a person is born in this society.
Okay, I'll go and start from that. Take it all the way up to death. Is that what you want to know?
Yeah, please. Like, how would a standard life of a person in this society work?
A child is born in the area with a filthy atmosphere, say like early Pennsylvania near the coal mining regions or smokestacks or industrial regions. A child's lungs, to start with, are pink. The first few breaths that they take begins to affect their lungs right away. And that will determine to a large extent how many colds they get a year and other respiratory disorders.
Really? So,
but when we manufacture technical instruments and scientific instruments, we have a clean room. You're familiar with that?
Yeah.
Where people wear white clothing. They don't want any dust particles. Well, in the birth of children in the future, they'll be brought up in an extremely sanitary environment.
Okay.
Number one. Two, they'll be fed the most nutritious food known. There will be no chemical additives, artificial coloring, or flavoring, or any agricultural sprays put upon food. We will control insects by controlling the range of sound that keeps certain insects away from the plant, but there are insects that are necessary for pollinization.
That's right.
We will learn how to control that. In other words, what the Venus Project's concerns are tampering with certain aspects of nature which we do not have enough information on as yet. So before the Venus Project builds any of the large constructions, we will do a careful survey of the negative effects and the positive effects to be gained. Is that clear?
Okay, yeah, I gotcha.
We don't go ahead and build them and then find out, oh my God, the fish can no longer migrate to the spawning grounds. So when you build a dam in the future, you have to build ladders on both sides of the dam so fish can swim uphill. Do you know what I mean? By stepped.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Good. And then you have silt collectors, because dams generate a lot of silt. You have to have silt collectors, pipes, that suck up the silt, and then we have uses for the silt also. There is no waste in a sane society.
Okay.
All right, next question.
Well, no, okay, so the child is born, and then how is the child educated?
They're educated in terms of the way nature functions. First, they're shown how we relate to nature, children. That we depend on trees. If we destroy the forest, this is the consequences. If we pollute the oceans, this is the consequence. They're not given history, because history is really a propaganda designed by each nation to generate loyalties. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, absolutely.
With reality. So we can bring up children so they go out into the field and they see how the birds build nests, how the beavers build dams, and the function that the dam serves, and how we relate to nature. That is what you study. You study humanity's relationship to the physical world first. This is the only reality we know.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And, of course, not just the physical world, and to one another.
Okay. So, who runs the schools? Like, how the schools are all, like, how do people receive, like, after they get, like, their crash course in nature and they understand the relationship and all that kind of jazz?
Right.
Where are they going to get their hard skills, math, sciences, okay, that kind of thing?
Before you can fly an airplane, you have to go to school.
You bet.
and you have to sit in the, on the ground and work things till you get the hang of it. Then you have to understand the language, you know, the telecom and the airplane, how to communicate with the tower. You see what I mean?
You betcha.
And after you learn those things, then you're ready to start.
Right.
So there they measure your reflexes, whether you're fast enough, whether you know when to drop the landing gear, whether you know how to avoid turbulent air. After you know those things, then you're given a range of permissive behavior. See, like we use the word freedom in this country, and all other countries use the same word. But what I'd like to say is what we really have is a certain range of permissible behavior, but not freedom.
Oh, I see.
Okay?
Okay.
But we talk differently. The language that you've inherited from your culture is sloppy, vulgar, poor method of communication. That's why lawyers exist, because they can take any kind of language, twist it around if they're that good at it,
mm-hmm.
make you look ridiculous, or win a case. So this cannot happen in engineering. When engineers talk to one another, their language is not sloppy. When they say, I've got the strongest cable available, the other engineer says, what's its tensile strength? See, the language, he said, well, 40,000 pounds per square inch. Now, the other engineer doesn't say, gee, I believe you. He says, I'm going to check it out. And they put it in the machine and pull on that cable, and when it snaps at 43,000 pounds, they say, yes, we accept that. I love that system.
Okay, so trust everyone but verify everything is kind of the...
Don't say trust everyone. We check it out, okay?
Okay.
Put it that way. Where money is involved, the reason you sign contracts is you don't trust anyone.
That's right.
You want them to back it up. Don't tell me that. Back it up. So the whole system, in other words, when a doctor tells you, I think you need a kidney out, he says, I mean that. You don't know whether he's trying to pay off his new cabin cruiser.
Mm.
I don't know what the motive is, and if the motive is money, I am certainly uncomfortable. I think most people are. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it does, yeah. It does. I can see where you're going with this.
In a non-monetary society, even in your home, when you say, Dad, can I have a buck? I'd like to go out. He doesn't say, you owe me a buck and a half. There's no interest in the family of man in that sense. So people have access to things. Now, somebody said to me, it was kind of a deeper question, where are you going to get the money to outfit these access centers? It costs $50,000 to keep a kid in jail a year. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
$75,000 for an adult. For 10 kids, we can operate the access center for 10 years.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So what the public doesn't know, they've been so brainwashed by society, by propaganda, by lies, by artificiality, and by superstition to believe that someone's going to come along someday or descend from the clouds and show us the way.
Okay.
Our responsibility. There's nothing going to descend from the clouds. If we don't take on the responsibility of irrigation, soil conservation, keeping the air clean, we will perish.
Okay, so...
I'm saying there's no magic, okay?
No, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
In a world, you have to get up off your ass and make it better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The emperor wears no clothes.
Anything bother you up to know?
No, no, I'm the only thing I'm having trouble with is, you know, everyone's, like, there doesn't seem to be anybody in charge. Like, how do we make sure that everyone is moving along in the right direction?
I see what you mean, okay. Today, the Earth is carried by less than 3% of the world's population.
You betcha.
Like guys like Edison, Louis Pasteur, you know what I mean? The very few people that made it possible for us to live without slaves. It isn't that Lincoln freed the slaves. Oh, that's a crock or BS. Bad science, okay? Lincoln didn't free the slaves. What happened is competition, machines can work cheaper and faster than people can. So I'm going to say this to you, that professional broadcasters and actors, they're working on this right now in the computer industry to generate human faces and human expressions and human movements, and you will have salesmen on TV, radio, that look better than your grandmother, selling products that work for 15 cents an hour, electronics. So everyone is going to be eventually displaced by machines.
Okay.
Because people like to do it because it's cheaper, more efficient, more stable, more predictable. The Japanese today are moving toward 100% automation. That means no one in the factories. That means you can bring the ceiling down right over the machines. You don't have to air condition the place. You don't have to put windows in. You don't need lighting. You don't need vacation times. You don't need parking space. You understand?
I gotcha.
Why they'll do it. I don't advocate this. I'm just telling you what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
So when new machines come in America, they downsize.
Hmm.
New machines come in under the Venus Project, the work day is shortened. In other words, you're working 6-8 hours a day, you work 3 hours a day, 3 days a week. And if newer machines come in, then you're free completely to go to the art centers, music centers, create your own plays, engage and go back to college if you wish, without any price tag.
Hmm.
You have access to books. So we do this. We give children books free. We give them medical care free because every human being is an asset, especially if they're intelligent. If children just hang out on corners shooting up drugs with no place to go, and the police walk over in their arrogance, say, break it up. Where can they go? Are there music centers, art centers? Are there places for kids to go? I don't know of any.
Hmm.
So do you understand that? By increasing the quality of life for all people, there's less anguish, less envy. In other words, if you came to my home and I had a baby grand piano, you might think, gee, I wish I had one for my daughter. You can at the Access Center. So envy will disappear. See, they think that's a natural human emotion or human nature. Let me say this quickly. There is no human nature. There's human behavior. If you were raised by the headhunters of the Amazon as a baby, never saw anything else, you'd be a headhunter.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. So if you were raised in France, say 10 years, then you moved to Germany and you lived there 10 years, you would speak with a German-French accent.
Okay, yeah, granted.
Okay. So environment, to a large extent, shapes human behavior and values.
Okay.
You know, if you have, this minister said to me, well, I know two people from the same environment. One was a gangster and the other was a priest. How do you account for that if environment is everything? The minute you pick up one child and say, why can't you clean your room like your sister does? I have to pick up all things, then you're making jealousy and envy. There is no such thing as a same environment.
Okay.
The minute you favor a child, you build jealousy and envy. Does that make sense to you?
Okay. Let me come at you this way here.
Even put a cat on your lap and the dog will growl.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, now, in this society, okay, everyone has everything and blah, blah, blah.
They have access to everything.
They have access. They have access. There is no envy. There is no greed as such.
There's no need for it.
That's right. Now, what motivates people then to do well? What motivates people to make new machines?
That's an excellent question. The end of war, the end of territorial fights, the end of your kid being put into the army, the end of prisons, the end of police, the end of automobile accidents. All cars are equipped with sensory devices. When you get within 50 feet of another car, you're stopped. And there are no signs on the highway, slippery when wet. We add an abrasive and bank the highway. You follow me?
I gotcha.
When you get to a school district, there are no signs. 15 miles an hour school district. The power output in the school district is 15 miles an hour. Is that clear?
Okay, yeah, I gotcha. So you're
elevators. I'm sure you remember when human beings used to operate elevators, they never quite got it to the floor. They turned a crank and they tried to line it up.
That's right.
Today they're gone, most elevator operators, and the elevator takes you right where you want to go. Now, I know it's difficult for you to picture a government without human beings managing things. But when you get in an airliner today, you don't have to write the pilot and say, hey, you're flying at an angle, straighten up. Or we're headed for, you say we're going to Hawaii, but we seem to be going to England. You don't have to write the navigator and tell them what to do. They are there because they know their business. The same with an ocean liner. If you cruise on an ocean liner to England or France or the South Seas, everybody on that liner usually knows their business. You don't have to write them.
Well, that makes sense. You know, no micromanagement.
Think of the future will be first by people that are highly competent. That's only during the transition. After the transition, we hope to automate the entire government, eliminate government entirely. Because human beings, it's human beings, not machines, that drop bombs. It's human beings that have made nerve gas. It's human beings that manage the concentration camps. Don't turn it to machines. They have no gut reaction. If you destroy one computer, or 100 computers in front of the latest computer, it doesn't say, boy, am I going to get you.
Yeah, that's true.
Never set out to hurt people. Remember, even guided missiles are misguided by people.
That's true.
So don't put it on machines. Machines could be, you know, the minorities of the future. When politicians can't manage things, they're usually pretty stupid individuals. When they can't manage things, they say, well, maybe we've got too many machines. Maybe we ought to go back to nature. What the hell does that mean? A hand-tool economy where you work all day just to grow carrots and peas and beans?
No, that's not even feasible.
Being alive.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Okay. And family values, there's no such thing. So many families differ in their values and beliefs. So whenever they talk about this simplistic crap, they're talking about what the kind of propaganda they've used to control people for years.
Hmm. This is some really interesting stuff. Okay, how about this one here? How about, now in any society, okay, no matter how well-developed they are, sometimes there's sickness or someone becomes traumatized or something
aberrated.
To this effect.
Oh. Is that what you're talking about? Mental aberration?
Sure, or I'm just talking about people who, like under crimes like murder or rape or something like that, where people are unpredictable, they're a variable, okay, not everyone's a machine, so you're going to have some chaos there.
What do you do?
What exists in this society in case I break the community law, so to speak?
Okay. First of all, there's no community law.
Okay.
Okay? And you're brought up in a school system where you don't do exercise or anything like that, but there's a big lake in the city, and there's an island in the middle of the lake, and there's a hill about 100 feet high with a craft shop where you can make anything you want to. But in order to get there, you got to row a boat and climb the hill.
Right.
Don't tell kids, get out there and do exercise. Whenever a person does exercise and they're against it, they poison themselves. Did you know that?
Hmm.
When you don't like what you're doing, you may belch, have an upset stomach, or even hear bad news. So we want kids to do things because they want to do it. We're going to make science and education so damn interesting that you're going to have to, the kids will appear at school before it opens.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, I have to go to school tomorrow. Well, over the weekend, how great. School should be fascinating and interesting.
Well, I agree there, yeah.
Okay. Do you understand our education is based upon learning theory? How to get kids interested in things. Don't start out with science. Don't start out with H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, composition of water. That does not get to kids. Show them some interesting phenomena, such as a floating magnet above the ground. Say, gee, how does that work? Then explain magnetism. You see what I mean? We're working ass backwards today.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to force concepts upon people and beliefs upon people that have no physical correlation with the real world.
Okay.
Why you have all this trouble? You have all this trouble because of our culture. We even design things to wear out and break down. Are you sure? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Planned obsolescence.
You betcha.
That's to make you buy things. In the Kimberley diamond mines, they burn tons of diamonds every year because it's carbon to keep the price up.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
So we also plow under. You know what that means? If you're growing too many grapes this year, the price goes down. You know, so to keep the prices up, you deliberately withdraw your efficiency.
Hmm. That doesn't even make sense.
Monetary system. So a monetary system is really the source of many problems. Yes, the free enterprise system does produce incentive. It also produces incentive for embezzlement, thievery, getting your brother-in-law into the organization. You know, look at the big corporation today. The tremendous records of malformed behavior.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean?
I do.
Corruption, yeah.
I'm still having problems with the, what if I get angry and beat somebody up in this society?
Because the kind of movies you see, when somebody insults John Wayne or some other actor, he's out there beating him up or solving his problem with a gun. When the kids that we raise are brought up in the new schools, they learn how to talk to one another about their differences and say, well, look, I believe in swept forward wings and you believe in swept back wings. Let's try both systems. You know, why does it have to be one or the other? In other words, why can't children learn to sit and reason together? Because we don't have that in school. We don't have anything about human relations in school, how to relate to our fellow human beings if their values differ than ours, if their religion is different than ours. We don't have that. We say, I'm a Lutheran, and you're a Catholic. My mother said I ought not play with you. You see, the kids are given a value system, which makes it very difficult to be sane.
Okay, so what you're saying is I'm looking at, because the way I've been raised in this society, I'm looking at stopping, like punishing people for their crime, and I'm being reactive, and you're saying be proactive, raise children so that there is no need for crime and murder and rape.
Well, make things available, teach them that all the wonderful things of the world do not come from Americans only, that there are contributions from Sweden. The Arabs invented the electric battery 600 years before Christ. Chinese had man carrying kites 1,000 years before the Wright brothers. We don't know that, and that's why national propaganda is dangerous. We must show the American people, the English people, that a lot of us are alive because of guys like Louis Pasteur, a Frenchman, Madame Curie, which helped us develop the X-ray. You see, so we owe so much to so many, and this is what's needed more in our history books. What we have in common rather than the differences. Am I getting to you?
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you.
I'm not angry. I don't want to kill capitalists. This system will fall of its own accord.
Yeah.
If this system continues to replace people and use machines, eventually, I mean in the next 10 years, the majority of people will not have the purchasing power to buy television sets, automobiles, or homes. If you keep putting people out and putting machines in their place, which is it is going to happen, then who the hell's going to buy the things from your factory?
No, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. So it's not a question of throwing anybody out. I just said when this system fails, then and only then, when people lose confidence in their elected leaders, then they will be looking for other alternatives.
Okay, now let's say, for example, I'm not trying to punch holes or nothing, okay? But let's say, for example, a child is born in this society and just hates the whole deal, like hates it all, is completely antisocial, does not want to do any of this stuff. He's just a bad kid, like they happen, you know?
There's a play once called The Bad Seed. Are you familiar with it?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
All right. First of all children pick up their behavior in the home and around the home and from their friends. If the child is neglected, if the child draws a picture and says, look, Mommy, look what I drew, and she says, go show it to your daddy, I'm busy, and daddy says, why don't you go out and play? In other words, if you ask your kid to mow the lawn and then when you're through with that, clean the car, and don't pat him on the back and say, hey, thanks a lot, would you like to go to a movie? If you don't reinforce that behavior, that kid's going to hide when he sees you coming.
That's right.
You follow me?
You bet.
We know enough today about human behavior to design cities so that it will help children grow. It'll help them grow and understand things. I don't want children to be obedient. I want them to understand. I don't want people to follow me, the director of the Venus Project. I want them to listen to what I say. If it makes sense, hey, join with us. I don't want a following. I don't believe in charismatic personalities. This is a batch of crap. It's been around for years and never did any good. So we have no heroes. Do you understand?
Okay, I gotcha.
Another thing is that many people tried to fly before the Wright brothers.
Right.
A lot of them were killed.
Right.
The Wright brothers read their book, found out what didn't work, and built a flying machine.
Right.
And they're called the father of flight. We're against that. There's no father of anything. You take an idea so far, I add to it, Johnson adds to that, and we build upon one another.
Sort of an open source...
You bet.
Open source world.
You bet.
So there's no copyright, there's no...
No patents, and no one owns anything essential to life. There's no such thing as drug companies or banks controlling money. The minute you've got that, you've got the basis of corruption. The minute you got, hey, he makes $40,000 a week, this guy, and everybody looks up to him. Not as a chiseler. They admire him within the framework of this culture, and you're looked upon as a consumer. What a horrible label.
Yeah, no kidding.
The consumer. So I'm saying that I don't want to fight for women's rights, black rights, Jewish rights, Polish rights. The whole system stinks. And what we have to do is redesign all aspects of the culture. If we don't, you will have a continuation of the same repertoire of boom, bust, depression, war, aggression, and enemies.
Okay.
What do you want? All of these projects says is, look, what kind of world do you want?
Oh, no, I mean, like, this sounds a lot like almost a Star Trek-style reality, like from the...
Star Trek has killing, it has personalities on it.
Yeah, that's true.
These are weapons, they're all dangerous, all television. There's not a movie on the future that deals with social change. It deals with monsters, the creation of machines that take over and kill people. The reason why machines will never take over is they don't have a solar plexus. They don't have a gut reaction, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Machines don't get angry. There's nothing that... They are not ambitious. And if you work a machine night and day, it doesn't get angry. It's man that you've got to be wary of. Man that took territories from others, that burnt witches, is that right? That built concentration camps, that drops nerve gas. It isn't machines.
Okay.
Fire away.
Okay. Now... I'm hearing you. Myself, I'm an ex-military man, okay, and I'm kind of, you ever read any Robert Heinlein, like Starship Trooper, that kind of thing?
I worked with him on a motion picture.
You worked with Robert Heinlein?
Yes.
Wow, that's really cool.
Well, Project Moonbase.
Oh, wow, that's really, really cool, actually. Yeah, I'm a big fan of like, I read Starship Troopers, okay?
Sure.
And you look at that kind of a society, like his society he made there. Okay, he talks about a very militaristic society. And even in nature, you see that you'll have big fish eating little fish. You'll have the haves, you know, using...
That's true. That's true.
And you'll have a plant that is dominant overtaking another plant. Now, I would think that a military...
Seems natural.
Yeah, is a natural thing. You have to have like, I understand that you don't use your military on your own people like they do now. You don't use your military...
You don't have a military.
Yeah, so how does... But... You see that I have a problem there because if you don't have a military, you can't protect yourself from the unknown, the variable,
right.
The X.
I don't know whether you knew this about the Venus Project, but the early stages we invite all nations to become part of the common heritage. Just like the states, when the states joined together, the militias disappeared at the borders.
Okay.
There's no more slaughter. And until the nations of the world joined together to form this common heritage, resource-based economy, no money, then there's no reason for me to invade your land. There's no reason to take anything from you.
But the thing is, though, Jacques, is that unless you get everybody on board...
Let's assume there are nations that don't want to get on board.
Yeah, like let's say we got the Taliban, okay, or you got Israel, or you got Russia, and they say, they look at this and go, you know what, these guys are going to build this beautiful society, we'll wait for them to do it, and then we'll just invade and they're screwed.
Yes. Okay. That's a good point. First of all, we send a lot of equipment to undeveloped countries. When you send wheelbarrows to Mexico and shovels, you don't give them the tools to compete. No matter how much money you give them, if you don't give them modern equipment to do things with, they can't pay off their debt. You understand that?
Okay, sure, yeah.
What we do is we go to the undeveloped countries and we build schools without any financial obligation or servitude. Is that clear?
Okay.
Because we have more resources than they do. We build things for them, give them books, and we have guests to come there to help them work and rebuild their agriculture. By sending them care packages every year without showing them how to improve their agricultural yield, how to make the deserts bloom, they would not be suspect of you if you came and did things without eventually putting them in debt or servitude. Do you follow me?
I follow you.
So you would have no reason to suspect me. If people came from another world and gave you the answer to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's disease, and said this was only a start, you're not going to shoot them when the next ship arrives. You see, don't forget, most nations fear other nations. Why do you come to our country? You know, gringo, vete casa, that means Yankee, go home. American law. Because we come to other countries, we pump their oil out, their minerals. You know what I mean? You go to Hawaii today, you know who owns the richest land? The Dole Pineapple Company, not the Hawaiian people.
Hmm.
You know, when you went to Cuba years ago, all the whorehouses, all the gambling casinos, all the big hotels were mostly owned by foreigners.
Hmm.
So what happens if people get angry? They don't know what the answer is. when communists get into power, or socialists, particularly the 1929 socialists, they really don't know what to do when they get into power. They may not like corruption, but they don't know what to do. See, a guy like Castro may have been an idealist. I never knew him. But when he got into power, he didn't know what to do. He just felt that things ought to be better, or people should be decent in government. This is not possible in the monetary system.
No, that's true.
Okay. Next question.
Well, the one thing is, you see, is that I still... If you have somebody who's willing, like, say, let's suppose for a moment, okay, like Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, okay? So you've got someone who cooks up a textbook Nazi regime, okay, in some foreign country. Now, we in North America slowly begin to adopt this policy. We start to look after everything, and they believe that they're governmental system with the Führer's leader, whatever. They believe that they're right. We know that we're right because of data, but they're, of course, fanatical, and they're going to attack us. Without a military, we have no recourse.
Okay. Before the Venus Project is established into a working system, we only have blueprints and the building of an experimental city to test the validity of the theories of the Venus Project.
Okay.
I said many years ago to myself, I said, geez, how do you know you can get people to come along with this point of view? There are going to be those that disagree violently.
Oh, yeah, hard. Like, well, really hard.
No program you can ever devise where everyone will agree 100%.
You bet.
That's why an engineer asked me, he says, who makes the decisions? He said, suppose I wanted to build a swept forward wing, and Johnson wants to build a swept back wing, and Harris wants to build a tail first, a canard airplane. Who decides what is built? We build all of them and try them all out. The only reason you have to build this or that one is because you're limited by monetary funds.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not against anything. Let's try it. If you think that people that live on a mountaintop can be cured of tuberculosis, take your group up there and let's measure it. Let's see what happens. If you dislike the use of drugs and you come up with what they call alternative medicine, let's check it out. In other words, I have nothing against any system. Let's check it out. Why does it have to be this or that? You see what I mean?
Okay. No, I understand.
You can be a Lutheran, a Seventh-day Adventist, a jumper for Jesus. You can follow anything you want to follow. We don't interfere with your personal preferences. All that the machines do in this new society is production, distribution of goods and services, keep the airplane and particulate matter from coming out of smokestacks. It monitors the oceans and tries to remove the nerve gas and the radioactive stuff we dumped into the ocean. It does not monitor people.
Okay, so everyone has...
No useful purpose.
Okay, I see. So it's all based upon what is required for the betterment of the whole.
Exactly that. Is it on the head?
All righty. Now, how does
If anybody is angry at any portion of the Venus Project, it's probably their own projections, what they project into it, because they got that from books like 1984, Brave New World, Atlas Shrugged. They're all books written by artists. They're not books written by scientists.
That's right.
They're not books written by people who understand ecology, who understand the history of society. They're written by, excuse me, incompetent people.
So we're talking about the solutions to the world's problems is actually education.
Yes, if you wish.
Okay, now...
But a certain kind of education that is relevant to the world we live in.
Okay, so you guys are all form things, pure science like genome mapping, cloning, stem cell research?
Not necessarily. We want to map the genes only in terms of reduction of cancer or anomalies or some physiological disadvantage. But no system is installed until very careful analysis. We do not experiment on animals to prove anything. For example, we might remove a tumor and keep it alive, say from a deceased person, and keep it alive through artificial circulation and treat the tumor. Do you get what I mean?
I gotcha.
We don't have to kill animals, pigs or any other animal. But those people that are against vivisection, the anti-vivisectionists, what is your alternative? If you don't come up with an alternative, you're just mouthing. You know what I mean? Your dissatisfaction. What we need is alternatives to automobile accidents, aircraft accidents. We need methods of solving existing problems, not we ought to live with more kindness and more warmth. All those are beautiful words, but they are simply noise from an engineering point of view.
Okay, what about the folks who, you know, they want to have their pornography, they want to watch the TV shows they want, they want their drugs, they want their booze. What happens to them?
That's an excellent question, because it's real. I lived in the South Seas many years. I lived on the island of Tuamotu. That's near Tahiti. When I got there, all of the natives, this is about 60 years ago, all of the natives walked around completely nude. And I never saw a male raised on that island stare at a female body, only the girl's eyes. Can you understand that?
I understand that.
Okay. If you gave them a nude photograph of a woman without the face visible and say, who is it? They won't even look at it, nor will they save such a picture, because it's commonplace. Do you understand?
I gotcha.
If you bring up boys and girls when they're very young to swim nude and enjoy the sunshine, like a lot of primitive tribes, they don't look at each other. Can I use profanity?
Yo, you bet.
There's no tit men, leg men, ass men, because the camera moves today in moving pictures. When a girl crosses her legs, the camera moves on that. When she walks, it follows her swaying behind. When she leans forward, the camera dollies in on the cleavage line. You understand?
It's all like subliminal. It's almost programming.
You bet. So what they say, well, that's the way men are. That isn't the way men are. We don't know what people would be like if they were raised without all that crap. So you've got a lot of crappy behavior in the world because of the uniqueness of the different exposures that different people get. They turn out different. I would say most people hate Jeffrey Dahmer. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But before Jeffrey, there was a guy named Albert Fish.
That's right.
He ate 45 children. They wanted to fry that guy. But a psychiatrist named Wortham says, don't. Let me study Albert Fish and try to find out what the conditions were that shaped that value system, that behavior. So I'm trying to tell you that every human being is perfectly well adjusted where they're coming from.
Okay.
Let me put it another way. If a kid in Germany said, Dad, how come there's millions of unemployed before Hitler, just as Hitler was getting in? And father says, well, the Jews control all the money and all the banks and all the industries, and they make it difficult for people. So this kid throws a bag of shit at a Jew. It's not the kid doing that. It's his indoctrination. Is it his father's fault? No. He, too, is indoctrinated. That's what I mean by every human being is perfectly well-adjusted.
Now, This is really cool, but you've got a variable here, which is that humans are emotional people.
Yes.
And emotions, although
emotions override sanity.
That's right. Now, and that's what, in essence, keeps us from being a bunch of machines, is our passion to love. It actually gives us, I think, our greatest accomplishments, our music, our art, our ability to share, all that kind of stuff, I believe, comes from emotions.
Okay.
Now, how does this society, because you're going to have people and their emotions, how do you try to propose balance between that?
Listen, now you're getting into a very difficult subject, but I'm going to try to answer those questions. The answers require a little time. Have we got much time left?
Oh, yeah, you got lots of time, all the time you want.
Okay. For example, let us give a car emotions. I'm going to do that and show you what happens. I put a pressure transducer in the tires. Do you know what that is?
It's
an electrical unit. If you squeeze it, it generates an electric current.
Okay.
Okay? So if you walk over and kick the front right tire, the pressure transducer is squeezed a little, and it says, ouch, my front right tire.
Right.
Now, if you kick it harder, it'll say, ouch, my front right tire.
Right.
And if you kick it harder than that, then what are you trying to do? Ruin the car? You don't want emotions in a car. What you want is performance. If the air pressure is low in the tire, you want it to self-inflate.
Right.
The engine's running hot, you don't want a needle indicator telling you you're running too hot. What you want is a self-corrective system. When the instrument points to the fuel mixture as being too rich, the instrument itself makes contact with the electronics that makes the fuel mixture less rich or less than that which you have it at. You see what I mean?
I gotcha.
You don't need instruments in a car. As cars become intelligent, they will drive themselves in for repair when needed. if that sounds fantastic to you, all large industries in the world today, America, Russia, Germany, have instruments that order ball bearings before they wear out. Are you familiar with that?
No, I wasn't, actually.
Here's something else you ought to know. Some years ago, the Navy was experimenting with high voltage, and they found that in running high voltage wires for some period of time, little whiskers would stick out of the wires. So they shaved off those whiskers and made a continuous wire. Then they broke it, and the electric current forced the whiskers to join with the other section of the wire. In other words, self-repairing circuits.
Really?
Really. Then there's such a thing, and now emotions really serve no purpose in machines.
Right.
There's absolutely no purpose. If your computer got mad at you, said, you've been running hot all day, you damn fool, what do you want to do, ruin the machine? You don't want that. You want a computer that turns off when it gets too hot.
That's right.
Right. Now, you don't want a person standing by in the event of an automobile accident. Oh, my God, there's two children trapped in the car. You want somebody who can pick up a lever, break the door open, and get in. To translate all emotions into what you would call a kind of behavior that's relevant.
Ah, so we're like, again, not to, I don't want to make Star Trek references, but it's almost like a Vulcan society where everyone...
If you wish to compare it to that... Yes, I'll go along with you, but essentially, children will learn how to survive under certain conditions. In a fire, they'll crawl on the floor of a building rather than since the smoke rises. They will learn the best way for survival.
So this is all very practical. It's all very practical. It's
yes,
not
it
it's not like everyone has love and things like that. But it's all if you feel something, act on it rather than just crying or freaking out.
Yes, but if you're brought up that way, there's no other way to behave. You see, I wish you could go to areas where children build modern airplanes, and one of them says to the other, "Gee, how do you prevent your plane from nosediving?" He said, "The minute it assumes that attitude, the electronics has a balance which automatically changes the position of the elevator." You see what I mean? There's always inquiry, and kids start out great. They want to know, "Gee, Daddy, how come those people live in old, broken houses?" He says, "That's the way it is. We'll always have the poor amongst us." See, instead of a kid when he's very young, boy or girl, most all children are what you would call naturally curious. But we kill that very early in life and make them uniform.
This is like so incredibly huge. Like this is such a, like it's hard to wrap your head around the whole concept, you know?
Understand. That's why we have seminars. We have books. Our books deal with that subject in detail. In other words, it's not some idealistic system superimposed saying if only humans were decent. All that crap is verbal. All the old 1928, 1926 liberals have a viewpoint. They're nice guys. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them.
No, no.
They really don't know what to do if they got into power. They wouldn't know how to clean the radioactive stuff out of the ocean. They wouldn't know how to remove the nerve gas that the Army dumped off the coast of Florida. 40 tons of nerve gas near the Gulf Stream.
And now they're trying to destroy nerve gas in a populated area.
Yeah, so I don't want to write to my congressmen. They're horses' asses. They're stupid individuals.
That's right.
Put there to maintain things as they are. They're not put there to change things. They don't even know what to change to.
Now,
I'm saying that the Venus Project is a very different system. What it requires is that people learn how to speak. When they first come to our seminars, and person says, that plane will never get off the ground because it doesn't have any wings. And we go at them and we say, what you really mean, how do you propose to lift off the ground without wings? No, not it'll never fly. Man will never get to the moon. What you say is, I'm a layman. I don't know much about rockets. I don't know much about what the human body can stand. How do you propose to overcome these forces? People have to learn to talk that way so they can hear things differently rather than listen to you and say, living on Mars? Impossible, you're nuts. See, people shoot off at the mouth in this society because they're not brought up or educated to understand how to inquire into things.
Well, that's smart.
Okay?
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's no one that didn't said anything against the Venus Project. So far, we're getting letters from all over the world. Children's schools for children. The Weekly Reader had published our stuff, and we got over 1,000 letters from children. Said, hey, can we move into that Venus Project? We like it, you know. And we're getting those kind of letters from all over the world. And it's even broadcast in Brazil in Portuguese. I don't understand it, but they're trying to get the Venus Project into schools. Spain, England, France. Now, some people are afraid of the Venus Project because they think the Venus Project is something like communism. Communism has money. It has commissars. It has social stratification. It has a military. It has police. It has a KGB. And it has government. We don't have any of those things. Don't lump anything onto us that has nothing to do with the Venus Project. Okay?
Okay, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Now, how many people have you got on board with this plan? How many people?
All over the world. We have volunteers working all over the world for nothing. They're doing what they can. They're working their computers. They're helping us with a website. We have a website. If you want real detail, it's www.thevenusproject.com.
Now, you guys just came out with a new book, too. What's that new book all about?
The book is called The Best That Money Can Buy.
Cannot as in can't
politics,
buy.
Politics, poverty, and war.
Okay. And how much is the book? And will you guys, like, how much is the book?
This
and
is
you guys
how we support the project, by videotapes and books.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You've
our
got
our website. Check our website, and there we have a listing of what we have. We have videos of action of what the world will be like. The dams, the power project, where we get the enemy, the energy. There's no shortage of anything. Artificial manufacture.
Okay, and do you guys ship overseas? Because we've got we got listeners in Latvia and Europe, all over the world.
Our programs have just been run by the Discovery Channel.
Really?
We appeared on the Discovery Channel. Of course, they left out everything social.
Okay, now for the people in the world,
yes.
Like a lot of people who want to help with this, I mean, obviously they want to educate themselves, so they got to get a hold of this information.
If you like what I say, if it makes sense to you, please don't follow me. If it makes sense to you, talk to other people about it. If you're not good at that, get our books and videotapes, show it to other people, call up the libraries, tell them, hey, this book belongs in every library. It's the kind of book that is, it's not pro anybody except the earth and everyone on it.
Well, it all seems almost like the world's best common sense. I mean, everything's just very straightforward.
Well, no one's ever come out with any answers. There are all kinds of books written about the UN doesn't know what to do. Every little nation of the UN tries to say, yes, well, how will that benefit us? Do you know what I mean?
No, the UN's a joke.
No, but I would like the UN to know about this, but I'm not famous. I'm not well known.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
Of any of the universities, but I've spoken at Princeton, Harvard, Columbia. I've spoken at the major universities in this country. But 1 hour a year, I can't do much. I can't get to the students. But there's so many interruptions and questions, it really takes seminars. So if you really want to help the Venus Project, see if you can arrange for your university to sponsor a lecture or a seminar, a series, because it is not against anybody. What we're trying now is to make a major motion picture called And the World Will Be One.
Really?
And it's not about technology. It's about technology and human beings and how we get from here to there. It's a story of mankind, our dependency upon one another. When I was a kid, I met Albert Einstein. I said, gee, you know, where did you come up with all those new theories? And he was the guy that said to me, what I've heard from other scientists, because they stood on the shoulders of giants.
Really?
That's wonderful, being able to say that. And that's the same with your Beethoven, Brahms, Bach, Wagner. They learned their music from people around them. All you heard of is Leonardo da Vinci, but you never heard of the guys he talked to and the influences he got from other people. We have the great man concept in our heads, and we think that these people somehow come up with a million new ideas without being influenced by anything, and that's a crock of shit.
Yeah, it is a crock.
Okay.
Well, this is absolutely fantastic. I can't thank you enough, and
I can't thank you enough, and I hope that I did not offend anyone. If I did, I did not mean to do so.
Don't worry.
And you're welcome to come and visit us. Just give us a week's notice in advance. You will see more fantastic things here than you've ever seen any place.
I've got one question for you. You said that you knew Robert, Mr. Heinlein there.
I worked with him on a motion picture.
Did you ever tell him these ideas?
Talk about anything. I wrote a story for the motion picture, and the guy that produced the film said to me, "You're not known. I love your story, but you have to get somebody that's known." So he got Robert Heinlein. And Robert Heinlein had some Russian spy sneaking around in a spaceship. The typical crap.
So you and...
I couldn't talk to him, you know. Nice guy.
Well, you know what?
Yes.
I gotta get more information on this. I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm a little fuzzy on a couple things.
That's all right.
But I think I just need more data. This has been
No,
without a doubt. If anything, buddy, I hope that we can make this thing happen because it sounds fantastic.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the interview.
Anything you ever need to know, don't hesitate, and we're open to criticism because this is the way we learn.
Okay, this is fantastic. We're going to circulate this throughout the web on the beginning and end of every one of our shows. That's pretty much it for the interview, by the way. The beginning and the end of all of our shows, we...
Sean.
Pardon me?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. At the beginning and the end of every one of our shows, we tell people that all this information is freely distributed, and we recommend people burn it and give it out to people and other people.
Another thing, that this is not a social theory or any kind of idealism. It's based on years of study. I'm 86 years old. I've been working on this ever since I was 9 years old.
Do you think you're going to see it come to pass?
I don't know, but I don't accept what I see around me, and I feel no other justification for living except to work toward this. By the way, Roxanne and I sponsor the project. Everything we earn goes into the project.
Wow, that's amazing.
Make any money on our books or anything.
That's amazing.
Okay?
That's right on. Okay, well,
have no angels.
We're gonna definitely I'm gonna be sending down some audio CDs of the interview, so you're welcome to use them, distribute them any way you want.
Thanks.
And be sure to tune in Monday night on the Rant Radio page, and I'm sure that people are going to respond to this just amazingly well.
Very good.
All right, thank you so much, Jacques.
John. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.